We're going to get started this morning. I want to talk about warriors. And so I want to begin by defining two words here as we begin here this morning. A warrior is a person engaged or experienced in warfare. In a broader sense, it's a person engaged in some struggle or conflict. I don't know about you. When you look in the mirror, I don't know if you see a warrior or not, or how you view yourself as a believer of Jesus Christ, but just as the President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ is the Commander of the armies of God. How many know that? And we have been recruited by Him when we said yes to Him. And guess what? You are in God's army whether you like it or not. You have become a warrior. Whether you have walked in that capacity or not, that may be a different story. But we are called to be warriors. Second word I want to look at here today is the word weapon. A weapon is something used to injure, defeat, or destroy, a means of contending against another. The Bible tells us the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, right? They are not fleshly. They are not of this world. They are spiritual. So as believers, we need to step into that place of warfare. We've been talking about some things. We've been talking about the witches. We've been talking about some of the things that are going in our neighborhoods, in our towns. I mean, you know, drugs is rampant. Sexual immorality is rampant, right? We can go on and on and on and list the things that are going on. But how many know we're supposed to do something about it? We are the remedy. We have the gospel. We got the pill for it, right? It's called the gospel. And so we want to give everybody that pill to help them with their issues. So we're going to look at some scriptures here today. I'm going to lay a foundation. Today is just the foundation of, I don't know how long this series will be, but I'm just going to begin here today. We're going to begin with Ephesians chapter 6. We read this last week, but we're going to read it again in a different way and looking at it in a different capacity. So Ephesians chapter 6, it says, a final word, be strong. What's the next word? In the Lord and in His mighty power. We need to understand here today, it is God who is strong. It is God who possesses the power. So be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And what did it say? Put on all of God's armor. Sometimes I think we think it's our armor, but it's not our armor. It's His armor. So put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, those things from which we can see. How many know it's easy to fight an enemy that we can see, right? And that's what we prefer. That's why we attack people rather than the spirit behind those individuals. So we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world. Not the things that we see, not the people we see, not the circumstances we see, but the unseen world. Against mighty powers. Notice it's mighty, all right? How many know we are in a warfare? And how many know the enemy is mighty? He's good at what he does. Mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. What's truth? What's our truth? God's word. And the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, which is the gospel. The good news about who? Jesus Christ. His word tells us about Jesus Christ, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation of your help. Put on the salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So three times in this scripture, we have reference to the word of God. Verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent for your prayers for all the believers everywhere. So we have been given a weapon. It is called the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is what? It is alive. It is powerful. Do you understand what I just read? The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It expresses our innermost thoughts and desires. I don't know if you understand that the soul and the spirit are hard to divide. Because when you die, your body goes into the ground, and what happens? Your soul and spirit hopefully will be with the Lord. They are connected. They are intertwined. They go together. But the Bible says the Word of God is so powerful, it can splice that. If you have had the bad news of hearing the word cancer when you went to the doctor, how many know what cancer does? It grows within your body. It intermingles with the other cells of your body, meaning that it has to be cut out, right? It's talking about a surgeon's scalpel here. The Word of God is like a surgeon's scalpel that will help what? In the areas of our life, it'll help cut out the areas of our life that need to be cut out. Hopefully it's benign and not malignant, right? But with God, everything is benign because His Word can cut everything out. 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, how do we know His will? His Word, the Bible, Scriptures, He hears us. So when we ask anything according to the Bible, He says He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. This is some good stuff, church. And it's stuff that we need to get in our spirit. Jeremiah chapter 23, we're going to the Old Testament. And Jeremiah is dealing with prophets. God, over and over through the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah faces off with the false prophets for those who are prophesying in his name. They keep saying, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, they're never going to come into Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is on the other side saying, yes, he's coming, and he's going to conquer you, and you're all going to be taken away in slavery. Some of you will be killed. And so we find that this dilemma right here in chapter 23, verse 25. He says, I've heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy delusion of their own minds? They think the dreams that they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. And so Jeremiah was that individual who was speaking the word of God faithfully. The others were lying. He goes on, for what has straw to do with grain? And this is one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. It says, is not my word like fire? Huh. Fire. How many know that fire can destroy anything once it reaches a certain temperature? How many know this heaven and earth will be washed, burned up, right? One day with fire. So we have here in the scripture, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Don't you like that? I don't care what kind of mountain you're facing. I don't care what you're going through. God's word is like a hammer. It's going to break through. He goes on and says there in verse 30, therefore declares the Lord, I am against the prophets, or let's put it down to where we live, the preachers who steal from one another words supposedly from me. How many know there's a lot of people out there repeating a lot of different things, a lot of different doctrines that are not really true. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. Indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies, yet I did not send or appoint them. They did not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord. So here today, I just want you to remember those two words, warrior and weapon, today. It's going to be shared throughout here. We've been talking about it here today, that we are called warriors Jeremiah was a warrior. He was preaching the word. That was his weapon. And today, folks, we have the same responsibility here today. But the thing is, if we think about it, if the word of God is so powerful, why are not we wielding it more than we are? Why are we not using the word of God as a weapon that he designed it to work? A sword in its sheath on our hip may make us feel secure and emboldened, but it is no threat to the enemy. How many remember the story of Goliath? And maybe we can kind of look at it as a picture of the believers today. We have in the story of Israel fighting the Philistines. They're on one side of the mountain, on a mountain chain on one side. There's a valley, and then the Israelites are on the other side. And so they're all prepared for battle. And Goliath came out in the morning. He came out in the evening, and he challenged the people of Israel. They had weapons, but when he challenged them, what did they do? It says they ran away. Every time Goliath came up against them, they ran away. But we also know the rest of the story. We know the story of David. And he didn't come in with a physical sword. Saul offered his armor to David. And David tried them on. He said, I can't use these things. I got to do what I got to do. And what did he do? He went in the name of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord God of Israel. And so that was David's sword. And so we look at it here today that David was a warrior who had a different kind of sword. How did David kill Goliath? With Goliath's own sword, did he not? So today, church, we have been given a sword. We have been given the word of God, just like David did back then. The word of God on our phones, we all have it. Hopefully you have it downloaded on your phones or on the nightstand beside our beds. Does not intimidate the enemy. It does not change our circumstances. The Bible is not a reference book on our bookshelf. We turn to when we need an answer. Romans 10:8, the New Life Version, tells us this. It says, this is what it says. The good news is near you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is near you. What's it say? It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. We have Bibles, folks. But the word is in here, but it's not in here. This is a reference book. That's how we treat it. But this must get in here. The good news is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. This good news tells you about putting your trust in Christ. This is what we preach to you. And that's what I'm preaching here today to you. It needs to be in your mouth because we know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There is power. What? In our words. It brings forth life and it brings forth death. God encouraged the people of the Old Testament and the New Testament to know his word. Today we are blessed to have a Bible. We are blessed to have the word of God. And many of us probably have multi-Bibles in our home. Back then they had no Bibles. They didn't have access to the scripture. They didn't have paper, pens, and pencils like we do today. They had no recording devices. But all they had was a desire to learn God's word, to be obedient to God's word. So we look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I know it's a lot of scripture here today, but we're laying a foundation of we need to get the word from here into here. Deuteronomy 6. Starting with verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are what? To be on your hearts. That's where the word of God needs to be. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Folks, we are to impress them, talk about them, tie them, and write them down. They need to be in here. Psalm 119:9 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have not hidden my word in the Bible, in your heart. Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words and store up my commands. Where? Within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. You know what the apple of your eye is, right? It's your pupil. You ever look in someone's pupil and see your reflection? Right? It reflects what it's seeing. Today, the word of God must be the apple of our eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Are you getting the message? All right. A couple more. 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of my ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the human hearts. Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe. It's here. It's here. That you're justified and with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. It's with your heart you believe. Mark chapter 11, 22, 23. Have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Where does it need to be? In your hearts. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. It needs to get from here to here. That you received, and it will be yours. So there's a lot of scripture that tells us that the word of God needs to be transferred from one place to another. From the book to your heart. Why do we want to do that? There are a lot of reasons why we want to do that. And what are some of the benefits? How many know that many Christians don't know their identity in Christ? Who they are and what Christ has done for them? We need to know our identity in Christ. How many know most of our prayers are blah? Right? How many know the scripture can kind of revitalize our prayer life? And how many know that it's according to God's word, his will, when we pray the word, right? How do we share our faith without knowing the word? How do we encourage others? How do we fight temptation and fear? It is through the word of God. We read the word of God to know Jesus, and the more we know him, the more we're going to love him. We can't love people we don't know, folks. As much as you say you love them, you cannot. But when you know them, we love them. One of the benefits is to become more like Jesus. We can stand firm against the lies of the enemy. Today we have a generation that has been deceived. We have people that are being deceived because they don't know the truth. Folks, we can't have discernment if we don't know the truth. We need to know the word of God. We need to have a deeper understanding of God's word. Hebrews 5 says, let's get beyond the elementary teachings of the Bible. And let's move on to some deeper stuff. Not flaky stuff, but deeper stuff. And as we heard today during our prayer time, one of the benefits is prepares us for the end times. Are you prepared? You know, there's a lot of fear-mongering in the media. But how do many know that we can be secure this morning? If you know where you are in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what takes place in our world. Be prepared for the end times. So where am I going with this? I'm talking about, and your walls are going to go up as soon as I say this word. Memorize. Because it's something we are not doing as believers. The Jews did it. They memorized the first five books. In Islam, they are required to memorize the Quran. But folks, we have gotten away from memorizing the Word of God. So we need to break down some barriers in our minds that have been placed there by ourselves and by the enemy to keep us away from this vital spiritual discipline. For some reason, we raised our kids in Sunday school, in children's church, and what do? We have a memory verse, right? Every week they walk out with a scripture on their mind and hopefully getting to their heart. And as we grow older, what do? We abandon that. When's the last time you actually memorized a scripture as an adult? We can kind of reference things. Some of us have been around so long talking about certain subjects that we've kind of got it in our mind because we've learned it by rote. But folks, we need to get back to memorizing God's word. So another word for barriers, I was being polite, is excuses. All right? So what are some of the most common objections to memorizing scripture? I don't have a good memory. Come on. That is not a positive confession. That is a negative confession, may I say. You are speaking life or death to your spirit. So look at it this way. You do have a good memory. And you can memorize. So do it. The second one is my brain doesn't work like it used to. Tony Buzzin says this. He says, people assume that the memory decline is a function of being human and therefore natural. But that is a logical error because normal is not necessarily natural. Memorization is boring. God's word is not boring, says Aaron and Emily House. If you are bored with while memorizing scripture, you are doing it wrong. So if it's boring to you, then you're doing something wrong. Another excuse is I have a Bible in my pocket on my smartphone. I don't need to memorize it. Folks, it's time to take the sword out of the sheath. Let's put the word where it belongs, in our hearts. My kids are too young to memorize scripture. Ooh, show me a clip.
The Lord. Second Kings 20:8.
All right. I don't know how many of you in nursery are just babysitting, but how many know our nursery is a place to teach our kids? And how many know those first 2 years are formative years? And so it is an opportunity for you to give them the word. And you couldn't see it on there, but it was Karen doing a puppet with her going over the memory verse. And so they're not too young. They're not too young. And so we encourage you. But on the other side, some of us are saying, I'm too old. You're not too old. When we were in our associates in her grandparents' church, Karen started a STARS class with a bunch of grandmas. So if you're not familiar with STARS, that's missionettes. That's the one where the stairway to what? Yeah, Stairway to the Stars, I guess. I kind of forgot what I was talking about. But anyway, here was a bunch of grandmas in their 70s and 80s that Karen was doing stars with, and they had to go through the books and memorize the scripture. I'm too busy to memorize scripture. That's ply one ply many of us would kind of say. Some would say, I am afraid of failing. What if I don't reach the goal that I set for memorization? But how many know any scripture that you hide in your heart is good, and you're ahead? Another one is, it scares me to think of reciting what I've tried to memorize. I'm afraid of being humiliated. Join the club. All right. How many of us have started quoting a scripture and we forgot the rest of it, right? But we know it. We know it. And so it's not about us. It's not about excuses, right? And like our culture has been sharing with it, it's kind of bled over into the church. We want the benefits without the work. We want God's fulfillment of promises without studying and praying and getting into God's word. We want to win the war without the proper weapons. Folks, we need the weapons. We need the word of God. So let me begin to close down here. In Luke chapter 19, verse 13, it says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Of course, this is a story of a rich man who had servants. He gave them money and said, I want you to go out and do the work while I'm gone. And when I come back, he said, I'm going to ask what you did with it. So this word occupy means this, to be busy. It means to occupy oneself in something. It means the conducting of business. And the commentary says this. It says, this word carries with it the idea of doing diligent business or trading, expending great energy and effort in producing effective results, not just spending one's time casually working at something. Folks, we have been given the Great Commission. And does that fit the definition of how we're doing it? Let me read that definition again. The word carries with it the idea of diligent business or trading, expending great energy and effort in producing effective results, not just spending one's time casually working at something. Believer is put in trust with the gospel, and we need to share the message with others until what? Jesus comes back. That is our sole responsibility. That is the whole idea of him giving us the Holy Spirit, right? He empowers us to be what? Witnesses for him. The other is just icing on the cake. Let me read two more scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God, notice the word allowed. I don't know if you realize the responsibility we've been given is a privilege. But as we were privileged of God, let's use that word, to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. We have been given the word. What? To hide it in here so that when those opportunities come, we can speak out. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel, Paul testifies of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Church, I want to tell you today, you have a trust committed to you. We are warriors who have been given a weapon, but we need to take it out of the sheath. We're no threat to anybody if the word is here and not here. So we're going to get a little practical in the next week or two on just giving you some helps to maybe encourage you to step in this area of memorizing again. Let the walls drop. We can do it. We can do it. And we'll give you some baby steps. Some of you may be memorizing and you're doing well, but other of us, we need a little bit of help. And so we're going to be a little practical. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. And Father, we're asking today that we will take a challenge here this morning, that we will hide your word in our hearts. Lord, there may be a time that we can't have access on our phones and our books. There are nations in our world today that monitor what their people read and what they're doing. And Father, we're not there yet. And I pray we'll never be there. But yet, Father, those places they are memorizing the scripture, they are hiding it in their heart, and it's the only gospel that they have. And you're doing great and marvelous and incredible things. But I pray, Father, with our freedoms and our liberty, Lord, that we will choose to hide your word, to memorize your word, to get it in our hearts, get it in our spirits. Lord, you are looking for a people to use. But Lord, you need something to use. If we have nothing, what can you do with it? But Lord, we want to make ourselves available to you. And so Lord, as we move forward, we're just asking in Jesus' name to give us desire to lay down the excuses, to maybe repent of some excuses, and take seriously, Lord, the memorization of your word. Because, Lord, there are benefits. We find our identity. We find fuel for our prayer life. It gives us the ability to share our faith and encourage others. Lord, it helps us overcome temptation, fear, and the sin that maybe some of us are dealing with in our lives. Lord, we want to know you, we want to love you, and your word shows us how, tells us how. And the more we know you, the more we can't help but love you. We want to be more like you. We want to recognize the lies of this world. We want to have the deeper understanding of your word and how it applies not to just our life, but to others' lives and the world we live in. Lord, we've been hoping and praying that, yes, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. That maybe this is the last days. But Lord, we're going to be prepared no matter what. To give a reason for the hope that is within us to anyone that might ask. So Father, we come to you today asking you just to stir our hearts and place a desire within our heart to know your word in a greater capacity. By knowing your word, we have a greater capacity of knowing you. I pray in your name, amen.